What is your name?
Derek Tomlinson.
And what year were you born?
1965.
Where were you born?
Neasden, Wembley. No, I mean, sorry, Neasden, London.
What did your parents do?
By trade, my dad was a tailor and my mum was a machinist.
What inspired you to get into tailoring?
I suppose the fact that both of my parents were sort of like in the rag industry, so I think that's probably the main thing.
Can you tell us about any challenging obstacles?
I have to admit, not really.
Did you find it hard finding a place in Savile Row?
When I started, you literally just had to, I started here at 18, you could literally just walk in off the street. They were quite happy to take people on who had absolutely no experience of tailoring, because at least then you were a total blank canvas, and then they can literally teach you straight from scratch. I mean, obviously some people would come in and would want to do tailoring, but not everybody is actually gifted to actually do it themselves. But yeah, lucky enough, yeah, I was quite talented at doing tailoring.
Tell us about your first job in tailoring.
My first job in tailoring, I had a job doing alterations, which I absolutely hated. It was working for a dry cleaning company, so I was working on a lot of people's dirty clothes, mainly just doing things like patching pockets. If the seams have come undone, then turning the jacket inside out, re-sewing it. That was my first job.
Can you tell us about any significant people involved in your training?
Other than the person who taught me, not really.
Tell us about the person who taught you.
The person that taught me, okay. Well, I think he was an original Anderson Shepherd's tailor who worked in the trade for years and years. He was Swedish. And other than that, there's not actually much I can actually really tell you about him. Well, he was, he'd done a lot of work for when Prince Charles, years and years ago, when Lady Diana was alive. He used to make all of his coats then, and as an apprentice, I used to also help as well. And he specialised as well on doing a lot of overcoats and a lot of raglan sleeves overcoats as well, and also done capes. I'm not really sure who does that sort of stuff now, but that was my boss.
Can you tell us about any challenging aspects of your career?
In what meaning would you like say challenging aspects? Was a difficult part? Well, tell you honest truth, I think an A&S coat is just a difficult coat, full stop. Because I mean, where sleeves are concerned, well, A&S, I think like what you call tailoring houses, I just call them tailoring shops. A lot of them are pretty similar, but A&S have got their own particular style, which is generally was a rather small armhole and large sleeves, so then we'd actually have to put a lot of fullness in the sleeves to get them in. So the amount of fullness which you would put in, if you tried to go on a sewing machine, you wouldn't actually get them in, because you would be getting folds on it. But on Anderson Shepherd's, we do hand sew all of our sleeves in, so that way it's easier to get all the fullness in.
Can you describe the area when you first started Savile Row?
Sorry, the area?
Can you describe Savile Row when you first started?
Oh, I see.
Was it any different to now?
Well, what can I say about that? No, it's not really much different, other than we're not actually on the row now. But not really. I don't think so.
How did your career progress after you finished your training?
I did a 4-year apprenticeship as a coat maker, and then after that, all the all our all the all the makers that work at Anton Shepherd's, whether your coat, trousers, waistcoat, when you're an apprentice, you get paid by Anton Shepherd, by the firm, and then when you leave your apprenticeship, you go self-employed. So, yeah.
Can you tell us about the history or the style of your house?
Oh, well, I think I saw, well, we're jackets, oh, well, okay. Which I did explain some of it earlier. All right, see, what else can I say about an Anton Shepherd's coat? Right, with our pockets, most other firms don't match. Like if you've got a stripe job, they don't normally match the stripes going down. They'll put their pockets in going crossways. Where Anton Shepherd's, we do match our pockets going straight, the flaps on our pockets going straight down. I mean, that could also be to the fact of a lot of other firms as well, a lot of their coats, they will cut it with a side body, where mostly we don't cut with a side body. We'll either have one or two cuts. So in that aspect, it would make it easier for us to be able to match our match the flaps and along with the jettings.
Can you explain the techniques you use?
Right, the techniques we use. Can you elaborate more the techniques?
Maybe ask about skills.
Oh, I did actually forget a couple of other things. Oh, yeah. With Anton Shepherd coats as well, I think we are the only firm. We sew our sleeves in always by hand, and we also do the shoulders by hand as well. I mean, I don't think there's really any big advantage to sewing it by hand, but then the hand silk we use would definitely be stronger than if you sewed in by machine. Oh yeah, back to that question, sorry.
Explaining about the skills we use.
All right, the skills we use. Oh, I don't really know what to say about that. Oh, well, I mean, as a coat maker, When the coat comes down to me, the four parts will be cut, sleeves will be cut, and the back will be cut. And then after that, the rest of it, we literally have to cut ourselves. The facings we will cut, we'll search around to make sure and work out if we've got enough material left over so we can get all the bits out, all the bits for making the side pockets, the outbreast pockets. We will also line up and cut all of the linings and all the canvases, and making sure we've got enough material left over for the top collar.
Tell us about the important tools of your trade.
Well, I suppose the most important, well, no, right. Yeah, the most important tool of the trade. Well, I suppose you'd have two, which I'd say is the most important. First one will obviously be a thimble, which is an open thimble. You also have a closed thimble as well, which dressmakers use. But a tailor's thimble is an opened end thimble, which you definitely have to use a thimble, else, a thimble's used for mainly for speed, because you just wouldn't be able to sew quick enough with a thimble. And sometimes if you can't get the thimble through, if you're sewing through something thick, the thimble also helps as well. And a really nice pair of sharp scissors, a pair of shears, is also essential, along with a tape measure. Oh, and a ruler as it goes.
How has the cut and style changed over time?
Well, I wouldn't say Anton Shepherd's do a classic style, so I wouldn't say it has overly changed over time. We still get customers. Well, let's say no, it hasn't really. What can I say? I don't actually get many double-breasteds now, but I suppose maybe someone else is actually making them. So, I haven't really seen much change in the style, really.
Can you tell us about the relationship between different tailors and houses over time?
Different tailors and?
Houses over time.
Sorry, again? Different
shops.
Oh, different shops. Well, I don't really know much about other different shops, really. I've done my apprenticeship here and I've worked here, and it's really, I've come into work, done my work and whatever, and then I've gone home. The only tailors I've really mixed with, really, are tailors that work for Anderson & Shepherd's. I suppose years and years ago, Anderson & Shepherd's used to be a real closed shop. We would never have reporters in. A lot of our customers used to come by recommendation. We would never have media in or photographers. But I suppose, things change over the years. So I suppose that is one thing which has changed. But then I suppose it has changed due to when Andy Rowland got involved.
Okay, so can I ask you, is there a union for tailors?
There is a uni. Yeah, no, there is a union in tailors. Oh well, there was a union in tailors, but I'm not really sure what happens with the unions now. I mean, I left it years and years ago because I just didn't see what they were doing for me when I was giving them my money every week. I mean, yeah, which I mean, the unions used to. Discuss and get together to discuss our pay rise every year. But yeah, I don't know who does that now, but we did get a pay rise every year.
What is your most memorable job with a customer?
My memorable job with a customer? Well, I have to admit, I don't really get to meet that many customers. But when I do get a customer, you do get some customers who are really happy with their clothes and they'd like to meet the tailor that's made it. So when I do get to see from customers who want to come and see their tailor, any time when I get one of their jackets down, I always try to make a special extra job of their jackets.
How do you feel about the division of labour within the trade?
Well, I suppose everyone's got their own jobs to do. So, unless I don't fully understand the question. I don't think there's a divide when it comes to people when tailors who specialise on any particular garment. Yeah, I think we just see ourselves as all tailors.
What are the advantages and disadvantages about being specialised in your craft?
I suppose there could be a disadvantage. As I'm a coat maker, if I wanted to make myself a suit, I don't know how to make trousers, so I wouldn't be able to make trousers. But then again, I suppose it's the fact that I specialise as a coat maker, so then I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but I think I'm a rather decent coat maker. And then I suppose if I tried to make trousers as well, I don't suppose I would be as good. So, I mean, if I'm making a jacket for myself, I'm quite happy to give a pair of trousers for myself for a trousers maker to make, because then I can be getting on making another jacket and then getting paid for it. Well, technology still really plays a big, massive part. Well, on the tailoring side, but I suppose. Well, for now, when I first started, people didn't really have home computers. Where now we've got our Anderson & Shepherd's website, so I suppose customers can go on there. Well, funny enough, I've only been on the Anderson & Shepherd's website about 3 weeks ago, and it was only because another tailor showed it to me, because as far as I'm concerned, I've been working with Anderson & Shepherd for 30 years. I've lived Anderson & Shepherd, so I'm not about to go home and go on the computer and be looking around there on their website.
How do you go about quality control?
Some tailors... Well, when I get a garment, I make the whole complete garment. So where quality concern is there, I'm the one who's got full control over it. So there's not an issue there.
Looking back, is there anything you you would have done differently in your career?
No.
How does training differ now to how it used to be?
Well, I've trained an apprentice, and I've also got an apprentice right now. But for me, I'm a bit old school, so my apprentice who I train is going to be no different to how I was actually trained. But that's not, I wouldn't say that's the same with every other tailor who trains, but I'll let them explain however they do whatever they do.
How does training take off? What qualities does a person need to work in this business?
What qualities? Yeah, as you can see, I need to think about this one. It's a hard. I do find that a hard question to answer as it goes, because I think I'm quite particular with the way I work, and I've seen the way some other people work, and I don't actually think they are actually. Well, their quality standards is as good as my standards. So I suppose when you say about qualities, there probably isn't just one form of quality which you actually need. Like what I'd probably see as what the qualities which you have to have probably are not the qualities which everyone needs to have, because you can literally still get by as doing tailoring.
Take us through your typical working day.
Oh, my typical working day. Oh, I have to admit, there's not actually that much to my typical working day. I try to get here at 8:30, and I'll then just be working on a jacket, as I'm a coat maker, and I also have an apprentice, she'll often ask me. Well, I'll have to often guide her through things. She'll do things and then ask me, is that okay? And I'll either tell her yes or no. And then I'll have lunch at 12:30 for an hour's lunch, then get back to work, 3 o'clock tea break, and sometime after 5 o'clock I'll go home. Well, I think there will always be a place for Savile Row, because there will always be people with loads of money and expensive tastes. And I think some people as well, some customers, it's not just the fact of just buying a garment. I think they get a connection with their cutter and the firm. So I think those customers will always be about, as long as they're getting the garments which they're happy with.
What was it like being a black person coming into the industry?
Well, I have to admit, when I first started, like behind you, you can now see. A black cutter, which when I started, my boss even said to me, who was a director at the time, we could never hire a black cutter here. That's just the way things are.
How did you feel about that?
How did I feel about that? Obviously, I wasn't over the moon about it. But, I mean, I've always known racism existed, so, I mean, I was glad to have a job, so I wasn't going to kick up any noise about it.
And what was it like working with Alexandra Lorraine?
What was it like? Well, I think I was still an apprentice at the time when he was also an apprentice, and we worked in the rooms adjacent to one another. I mean, when he died... media companies did phone the firm to ask about him, and my boss at the time said that his best friend still worked here, meaning me, which I probably was his best friend in the firm, but it's not to say I saw him as my best friend. Well, I don't think no. Well, I mean, I've seen many young tailors who've started with ambitions of being cutters. I mean, of being designers, and most of them, you never really hear anything about them again. So I didn't really expect him to become as famous as what he was. Well, when he left, I never really thought much about him, full stop. I've really, if I be totally honest.